Hey, what's going on, everybody? Sway Mack Sr. here. We're back at it, ready to talk about UFC again. DraftKings edition, of course, as always. This week we're talking about DraftKings UFC 239. UFC 239 is a big one. Hopefully you guys have won some of those satellites that they've been giving away. I know that they, I mean, they were pretty tough. They weren't real hard. I kept tweeting at them almost every day trying to get them to put some more out, but they didn't. So I mean, I got a few of them, but not as many as I would like. So I mean, I got about a handful of them, so we'll see what we can do. First off, I mean, I'll just tell you, probably to get funky with them, there's gonna be a lot of lineups. So you know, get funky for sure. But yeah, let's get going. We have 13 fights this week. The fights are actually taking place in Las Vegas, where the UFC is kind of like headquartered there. The main event is going to be John Jones versus Thiago Santos. So that should be a good fight. Then we have in the co-main event, we have the double champ, Amanda Nunes, facing off against Holly Holm. So definitely some good fights. Overall, we have 12 fights, I believe. Yeah, we have 12 fights. So definitely should be interesting. My initial thoughts, just when I looked at just the odds and everything real quick, is I noticed most of the winners are heavy favorites. So especially a lot of the top guys or gals, I mean, they start off 9,600 and up there, you know, 9,100 and up there. So a lot of the top people are got those heavy odds in the -400, -600. So it's gonna make it interesting for people to pick their spots this week. So that should be interesting. So yeah, we start off with the prelims, the early prelims here. We have one that got added on a little bit late. It's Julia Avila going off against Panini Kianzad. This is the curtain jerker here. And just real quick, last week, the curtain jerker, I mean, if you didn't have green, you weren't really winning any money. And I had a little bit, but definitely not enough to make a dent. So that was tough. The next fight too, it was interesting. So, and it's funny, you know, we always talk about, like, especially if you're playing GPPs and you're playing a bunch of lineups, like, just take shots, you know, just take shots at some of these people, because you got to have some of these dogs to win, and you got to have some of these people with low ownership. So especially this week, you know, these pay-per-views, they can get funky. I mean, they get real funky. So we'll talk about it throughout the card, but yeah, you know, this will be an ongoing theme today for sure. But on this matchup, actually, it's pretty interesting. The first thing that I noticed is that we have Avila -190, so she's pretty decent on the odds. Not one of those super odds that we talked about, so but pretty decent there. She's priced pretty good at 8,600, so we get a bit of a discount. Looks like her odds actually have jumped a bit to -205, and Kianzad is actually at +171. She's priced at 7,600 on DraftKings. So the interesting thing about this is most female fights, you really have, I would say, a low inside the distance odd prop. You know, they just a lot of the time don't think that they're gonna end inside the distance. We have a few fighters that for sure they definitely think that's gonna happen. And I'll tell you, like, right off the bat, the co-main event, you know, if it goes 5 rounds, they definitely think that one should end inside the distance. So that's interesting. But you know, it's normally they don't really think that these female fights are gonna end early. So with that said, this fight is a +150. As far as odds go, that's not really that bad. You know, I've seen a lot worse as far as odds go. I mean, +150, that means Vegas is not really sure. They think this might end early, but they're leaning that it probably won't. I think we might be able to take advantage of that. Also, when I was looking at the odds, I noticed that Avila had the closer odds. It was like +200 or something like that to win by knockout or TKO. We also know, even though this is going to be her first fight in the UFC, we also know that she is going to, just based off of what I can see, like, she's pretty aggressive. She should be just better on the feet. Keen Zod, I mean, she's, from what I remember from her in the Tough House, like, she's decent, you know what I mean? But she's coming in off a short notice. I think the 7,600 price tag is warranted. I mean, I'm really leaning Avila here. I think we get a decent discount as far as the salary goes. I could see her, putting her down, to tell you the truth, but I don't want to go super heavy on it. So I think we want some ownership to this fight, and I mean, really, we want some ownership to Avila. If you want to go ahead and fade the other girl, I'm good with that. I most likely will, depending on how many lineups I play. But yeah, I mean, we probably want some shares. We want to get some shares of Avila here. So first fight of the night, curtain jerker. Yeah, we want to get some shares here. Next up, we have Chance Reencountre versus Ismael Noriev. We have -543 on Ismael. And then on Chance here, we have +400. Chance is coming in at 6,900 on DraftKings. On the flip side, Ismael is 9,300 on DraftKings. Second fight of the night. I actually really, really, really like this fight. This doesn't have an inside the distance prop. This doesn't have a good inside the distance prop. However, I do think that this is maybe a spot that we can take advantage of. I wish we could get Ismael a little bit cheaper, but you know, 9,300, he's not the most expensive fighter, I can tell you right now, but he's up there. And like I said, we're going to have to take some shots. I mean, that's a super heavy, just based off of what we've seen. If we're just going off of just stats off of his last fight, off of his only fight, he was basically came in on short notice and took Prezeres to a decision. Won that decision, had 63 significant strikes, didn't have any takedowns, but had two reversals, had four advances. So that means he was scrambling a little bit, but that also means he has power if he was staying in that fight. And 63 significant strikes, that's pretty impressive for a short notice fight. So I think we can have some shares of him as well. Chance's also coming in off of a submission victory against Kyle Stewart, who's a bum. I mean, I really don't put any stock into it, and I think that 6,900 price tag is warranted there as well. Do I think he can sub him out? I think anything can happen. So, I mean, I'll probably have a share of him just because he's, like, damn near one of the cheapest on the card, and you're going to have to take one of these guys. So, you know, like, if you take a shot, I won't be mad at you. I might take a shot, but on the flip side, you got to have some Ismael. It's just a matter of how much you want, pretty much. But I do think he can be one of the higher scorers of the night. All right. Then we have Jack Marshman versus Edmund Shahbazyan. This is a middleweight fight. Edmund Shahbazyan is coming in at -606. He's 9,400 on DraftKings. Jack Marshman is 6,800 on DraftKings. This fight actually is very interesting. We have one of the fights with a pretty decent inside the distance odd. Looks like actually it's going to be the second, the third highest odd on the card here. Shahbazyan, man, impressive. Come in against Jack Marshman, who, in my opinion, is like just not UFC caliber, man. Like, just from the fights that I've seen, just recently, even, like, he's chinny, dude is just way into freaking catch a punch and get knocked out, even though it's been a while since he's been knocked out. He went to a decision with freaking Carl Roberson in 2018, and in 2019, he won a split decision against John Phillips. Like, I mean, you know, before that, in 2017, he lost to Antonio Carlos Jr. by submission in the first round. So basically, he's fought two jokers since then, and is coming in at one of the cheapest fighters on the card. I think this is a spot we can attack here. I like Edmund a lot. He is one of the more expensive fighters in the card, but I mean, like, dude can just compete. Beat Darren Stewart, scored 90 points. Beat Charles Byrd earlier this year, scored 106 points. I honestly wish he was a little cheaper. But I mean, I like this spot for him. There's no need to really get into it. If you want to take some shots on Jack Marshman just for leverage, go for it. But I wouldn't take too many. And Edmund's your guy. So there's really not too much to get into there. Basically Vegas is telling us at -606 that they believe Edmund is gonna knock this dude out or handle his business basically pretty early. So I think we gotta take some shots here. On to the next one. We have Alejandro Perez going up against Song Yadong. This is a bantamweight fight, which means they're 135ers. This is Song Yadong's -214 favorite. Alejandro Perez, the +176 dog. Alejandro's coming in at 7,700, and Song Yadong is 8,500. This is actually a really, really good fight. I like it a lot. I really like Perez. Just he's one of my favorite fighters just to watch overall. Just an interesting and exciting fighter to me. A lot of people like, I mean, he's a point fighter, so I mean, he's not really gonna like go out there and like knock people's head off. But I mean, he's gonna squeeze some victories out, like he's gonna get dropped a couple of times and then somehow sneak some victories out. And I mean, hey, call it what you will, but I mean, I think it's impressive. Now, for DraftKings purposes, I don't think it's something that we can target, and I don't think it's something we should target. Song Yadong, he's decently priced, and I could see Song coming out here and beating Alejandro Perez. He should be the bigger fighter. One thing I will say though is that Song doesn't necessarily need a TKO or a KO or a sub to score highly. In his last fight against excuse me, Vince Morales, it was a 3-round decision fight. He had 2 takedowns, he had 2 advances, he had 79 strikes, and he scored pretty decently. He scored 85.5 DraftKings points at 9,100. He's cheaper this fight, and I think he'll be just as active if it goes that long. So I don't mind taking some shots there, actually. And on the flip side, I think Alejandro, I mean, we'll just look at his log real quick. Like, even when he wins, he's scoring like 56 points, like 47.5 points, 60 points. So just even at 7,700, just not somebody you really want to take a shot on. So for DraftKings purposes, I think it's Song Yadong, or don't play anybody. Then next up, we have Claudia Gadelha going up against Randa Markos. Randa Markos is coming in at +188 dog. Claudia is the -231 favorite. Claudia is 8,800, and Claudia is I mean, I think it's warranted. I think she's just the better fighter. Randa is 7,400, and I also think she might be able to give Claudia some trouble. So I think this is a fight, although it doesn't have any kind of odds. I personally am pretty much gonna stay away from it, but I wouldn't be mad at you if you want to take shots anywhere. Claudia should go for takedowns. Both of them pretty much will like can gas out, later on in the rounds. They both have like the story on them is that they get tired later on in the rounds. So I think that can be taken advantage of for both fighters. The last fight for Claudia Gadelha, she did lose a pretty, it was a bad loss against Nina Ansaroff. But I mean, Nina just outpointed her pretty much and just looked better. I mean, it just wasn't her day. She did beat Carla Esparza before that, had 81 DraftKings points, lost to Jessica Andrade in 2017, and then back in June of 2017, she beat Carolina. She beat KK Carolina Kowalczyk. I'm sure I butchered her last name. Yeah, she beat KK. She scored 105 points, but like I mean, she actually does score pretty well when she wins because she always has a lot of takedowns. So at her price at 8,800, I don't really like it. I do wish she was a lot cheaper, but I wouldn't be mad at you if you want to have some shares. I might have her in a lineup or two just to have some ownership for sure. On the flip side, on Ferranda, if you want to take a shot, I would say just take a shot and maybe that. She, if we just look at her logs, in her last win against Angela Hill. She subbed Angela Hill out in the first round and actually looked really good. She had a draw in 2018 in Brazil, so against Marina Rodriguez. She also lost to Nina Ansaroff, so that's interesting. She beat Julia Lima in 2017 and scored 86 points. So like in her wins, she scores okay. She's had some low scoring wins besides that submission. I'm only seeing the one submission on her record here that she has. So other than that, everything is all decisions. So, you know, personally, I just won't be taking any shots. And, you know, if she's the one that kills me, it happens. Like, you know, you can't pick everybody, you know, guys. So you have to pick it. For me personally, I won't be taking it, but, you know, hey. Now we have a really, really interesting fight here. We have Marlon Chito Vera, going up against Noheen Hernandez. Noheen is actually coming in on short notice, but he's a pretty decent fighter. he was expecting to come in on a different promotion, like next week or in a couple of weeks or something like that. And the UFC called him and was like, hey, we need you to step in. And that's that. So, like, dude's aggressive. He's going to come out here super aggressive. Maybe the bright lights get to him. Maybe they don't. I think this is definitely, like, the best competition he's ever faced. And Marlon Vera is just getting better and better and better. He's super aggressive. I think this is a tough fight in general. And I think this is a target fight. So I think this is a fight we can target on both sides. I definitely want to lean Marlon Vera. Marlon Vera is 9,500, though, on DraftKings. And he's the -427 favorite. Hernandez, on the flip side, is 6,700. And he's the +332 dog. So, but I do like Marlon Vera here. I like both sides, like I said. I mean, I wouldn't go any more than like 15% or like one or two lineups with Hernandez. But I would also like put Marlon Vera in one or two or three of those lineups, you know, and then maybe have Hernandez in there for a hedge lineup. Like, definitely like that ratio, because if Hernandez ends this and maybe catches him, then he's going to be on the lineup. He's going to be on the Bink lineup for sure. On the flip side, Marlon Vera at 9,500, he's got to score pretty, pretty, pretty big. And just based off of his history, when he wins, especially recently, he's definitely getting over that 100 hump. We have 106 in his last fight, 105 before that, 110.5 before that, 92.5 before that in 2017. So like all of his recent fights, for sure, he's gone over 100. He has submissions. He's getting knockouts. He beat Frankie Saenz by a knockout in the first round. That was pretty impressive. Like, he's just looking really, really good. Like I said, you know, all these guys are super, super favorites, and they're all super expensive. So I think this is a spot that we can target. I like Marlon Vera here, so I'll have him for sure. And I'll have Hernandez in a lineup or two as a hedge, most definitely. Okay, so we'll keep on rolling here. We have Gilbert Melendez going up against Arnold Allen. That sounds like he should be on a sitcom, right? Arnold Allen. but he's a really good fighter, though. He's a really good fighter. -341 favorite. Gilbert Melendez hasn't fought in like 2 or 3 years. He's the +270 dog. He's 7,200 on DraftKings. On the flip side, Arnold Allen is 9,000 even. I think this is a spot that we can target as well, but I don't want to super target him. By target, I think they may be low owned, but I think Allen is going to, I think this is a showcase fight, to be completely honest with you. I think they put Arnold Allen in here to show him off. And I think Gilbert Melendez just came in here to get his money and run, basically. Like, dude hasn't won a fight in forever. He's lost his last 4 or 5 fights. Like, seriously, he hasn't won a fight since 2013. He beat Diego Sanchez in a unanimous decision in 2013. So, I mean, even at 7,200, like, I don't want any part of him. But on the flip side, I do like Arnold Allen. I do like Arnold Allen. So not much really to get into there. Try to get him in, you know, a few if you can. Like, not something I want to load up on. But I do like him. He's kind of one of the cheaper guys in that 9K range that I do like. Then we have Diego Sanchez going up against Michael Chiesa. Diego Sanchez plus 285, dog, 7,000 even. Then we have Michael Chiesa minus 360, 9,200. These guys have been going back and forth, actually. It's pretty interesting. Diego Sanchez has like been talking hella crazy on his interviews and shit like that. It's pretty interesting. I think it's all hype, honestly. I think Michael's going to come out here and I'm going to kind of style on him a little bit. I think he's just looked better in his, like, his last fight, and I think he's going to look better at 170 just kind of going forward. But yeah, he looked pretty good against Carlos Condit in that second round submission. He scores pretty well in his wins, so I think this is a spot that we can target Michael Chiesa here at 9,200. Again, I wish he was a little cheaper, but there's, you know, we're getting there to some of these cheaper guys. But yeah, Michael Chiesa is definitely somewhere we can target. This is a welterweight fight. And like I said, I mean, not too much to get into. Diego Sanchez just really hasn't looked too good. I think he's trying to get inside his head. He did beat Mickey Gall and Craig White, but like they're both jokers. So, I mean, I just don't put any stock into that as well. And I think they're trying to get Chiesa a win here, a decent win here at welterweight. Next up, we have Jan Błachowicz versus Luke Rockhold. This is a light heavyweight fight. Luke's coming in minus 236 favorite. Jan is the plus 193 dog. Jan is 7,800 on DraftKings, and Luke is 8,400 on DraftKings. Now, both of these last two fights, and I apologize that the previous fight has a minus 165 inside the distance prop. I don't really like that too much. You know, that's not really as high as we would like, you know, and the 165, that means they're not really too sure. It's almost like the flip side on that Avila fight, like they're not really too sure. So I would definitely like bigger odds than that. But I mean, I do like Chiesa there. I think Diego is chinny, so I think he can catch him possibly as well. I think Chiesa's boxing has gotten better. So yeah, overall, I just think that's a spot you can target. And in this next fight, minus 195 inside the distance. I think this is a tough fight to call, to tell you the truth. Like, both of these guys have looked decent. Jan actually has looked really good until he lost that last fight to Santos, I believe. Let me double check here. Yeah, until he lost that last fight to Santos. But before that, he was beating some pretty impressive guys. Like, he beat Jared Cannonier when people, you know, they really thought Jared Cannonier was going to be their, like a really good prospect. You know, he kind of put that down. He pretty much always scores in the 90s and the 100s when he wins. So I think definitely let's have some shares there at 7,800. If he gets a 90 or 100 at that price range, he's definitely going to be in the big lineup. Same thing for Luke, though. Luke's at a great price range at 8,400. If he gets the knockout and he scores between 90 and 100, he's more than likely going to be in that bink lineup as well. So if it ends early, I think this is a fight we can target on both sides. I would definitely, like, if you're making like a handful of lineups, I would definitely like go one or the other in two or three. You know, maybe pick one that you like and put them in two, and then go with the other one in one and rock and roll. All right, and next up we have Ben Askren versus Jorge Masvidal. This is a welterweight fight. Ben Askren's coming in at minus 220. He's 8,700 on DraftKings. Jorge Masvidal is plus 181, and he's 7,500 on DraftKings. This is actually going to be a really, really good fight. These last four fights, even the one we just talked about, like these last four are going to be really, really good fights just to watch in general. Maybe the last five, to be honest with you. Ben and Jorge have been going back and forth on Twitter a lot. Jorge has been talking about how he's going to give him the two-piece with the soda and all of that. So, like, they definitely have some bad blood here. I guess they had a run-in, like, at the hotel or something like that, and basically Masvidal was telling him to come at him and stuff like that. For those that that don't know, Jorge Masvidal kind of came up fighting, like, an old Kimbo Slice, like, street fights on, like, you know, that you could find clips of on YouTube and stuff back in the day, and, like dude's definitely a street cat, man. So he's gonna go back and forth with people like that. So I think it's pretty funny. As far as DraftKings is concerned, though,
this is a good fight to target here. If Jorge somehow can beat Ben, even if this goes to a decision, I think that I think we can get a decent score out of him, even in decision wins. Even though it was in 2016, in his last decision win, he scored 101 points. He had 113 significant strikes against Ross Pearson, had a takedown. He's not going to look for takedowns against Ben Askren, because if Ben gets a hold of him or something like that, even if Jorge was to take him down, Ben's got some pretty good wrestling credentials. He'll probably look to advance or maybe get around or something like that, or sweep or something like that, and look to either take his back or get on top of him. So I don't think he'll do that. But I think he has the possibility to throw a bunch of significant strikes. So even in a loss to Damian Maya, who's tough to get a hold of, he threw 39 significant strikes. He ended up losing in a split decision, but, we should be able to get that out of him. That at least we can predict, he's going to throw some strikes. He's going to throw a decent amount of strikes. So with that said, I think he's in play. Don't want to go overboard, but as far as the dogs are concerned, I think he's one of the best dogs that we get. There's some shots that you can take on some of these guys that we talked about before, but it's pretty tough. And as far as like a good underdog goes, they're few and far between. We get Jorge at plus 181, 7,500 on DraftKings. He's averaging about 71 DraftKings points, period. That's win or loss. So, I mean, like, I think we just got to take some shots and just hope he can beat Askren here. If this stays standing, he's going to beat the hell out of Ben Askren. But if Ben Askren can get a hold of him, this might be over quick, to be honest with you. It doesn't have an inside the distance prop, so that. But, I mean, I have the inclination that if Ben can get a hold of him, he'll probably try to end this quick. And on the flip side, if Jorge pieces him up, I don't know if he'll get him out of there, but I mean, it could be a convincing win for sure. So yeah, I think this is a fight we can have some shares of. Now, this next fight is one of the title fights we have here. This is going to be Holly Holm. And this is going to be 135ers, a bantamweight fight. So they're fighting for the bantamweight title fight, the women's bantamweight title, against the double champ, Amanda Nunes. I mean, there's not much to be said about Amanda Nunes that hasn't been said already, or that you can't kind of just see or just look up real quick. I mean, even if you've just seen anything on UFC as far as highlights are concerned, like on Twitter, she's a badass, plain and simple. She knocked out Cyborg. She's just a beast, and she actually came in as the underdog against Cyborg, if I remember. She beat Ronda Rousey. She knocked out Ronda Rousey. I mean, I remember watching that fight, and I actually thought that Ronda might give her some problems, to tell you the truth. And boy, was I wrong. She couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle the hands. And that's kind of when Amanda Nunes, like, in my opinion, popped onto the scene as like, whoa, like, she's got massive power. Then when she knocked out Cyborg, I think everybody was like, okay, she's the best in the world. So right now she's the best in the world. She's coming in at minus 405. She's 9,100 on DraftKings. Holly Holm is the plus 315 underdog. She's 7,100 on DraftKings. And yeah, I mean, honestly, I think this is a showcase fight for Amanda. I mean, I just don't see Holly Holm winning. I've seen Holly Holm fight Durandamine and fight pretty much all of her fights in the UFC. And I mean, she got onto the UFC by beating Ronda Rousey. I actually remember after that fight, like, listening to an interview with her, and she was blowing up, and I was like, man, this girl's gonna be good. But I think that was just the beginning of the end for Ronda Rousey. I think it was just when people started to figure out she just didn't have hands. She never has. She never did. She was always just a grappler. So I think people figured that out when she fought Holly. So then, Holly gets beat up and she loses it. And now she's basically been The bouncing around. I mean, she's been fighting some good competition, to be honest with you, but she just has not looked good. After she beat Ronda Rousey in 2015, she lost to Miesha Tate. She lost to Valentina Shevchenko. She lost to Jermaine Durandamine. So basically, she didn't win a fight for almost 2 years. Then she knocked out Beth Correa, and Beth Correa honestly shouldn't even be in the UFC anymore. Then she goes up against Chris Cyborg in 2017. She's taking that L, even though it went to a decision in 5 rounds. Took that L. She goes up against Megan Anderson last year. Wins in 3 rounds, but Megan's garbage. She shouldn't be in the UFC either. I wouldn't be surprised if she's not here soon. And in all those fights, I mean, she just like she was she likes to circle, like, especially when she's going up against somebody who has power. So against Amanda, even though she's saying she's not really gonna do this, I can see her trying to avoid, basically running. She's gonna try to run, she's gonna be against that cage, she's gonna try to avoid the punches and try to back up. She's gonna try to grab her when she can and hold on to her. That's what she did to Durandamine. And I mean, as far as striking goes, it's Durandamine, it's Cyborg, and it's gonna be Nunez. And I can't 100% say she did that to Cyborg back in 2017, but that's just what she's been doing. So I mean, she probably did. She likes to just kind of run and avoid that. She likes to stay in like kicking range, use her kicks and that kind of stuff. And she's got nice kicking game. She's got nice kicks. So can she catch Amanda? Yes, this is the fight game. Anything can happen. I'm telling you. Again, these pay-per-view cards, they get funky, man. So we gotta get funky with our lineups a little bit. You can't be scared to take a shot on Holly Holm here at 7,100. Like, if somehow in the co-main event, the second to last fight of the night, if she can somehow beat Amanda Nunes and beat her in the first or second round, and you don't have her in a lineup, you have no chance at binking, because she will be in the winning lineup. I can almost guarantee you right now, and I'm finished recording this late in the evening on the 5th. I can almost guarantee you that tomorrow she will be in the winning lineup if she beats Amanda Nunes in the first or the second round. Especially if she wins in the first round and she scores over 90, 100 points, depending on how the other dogs go, she will more than likely be in the winning lineup. So with that said, I think this is just a spot where we kind of have to put a lot of ownership towards, not on Holly, but just on the fight in general. I mean, Amanda should win and should win everywhere. She's just a better fighter. Like, she's just better everywhere. But Holly, as far as DraftKings purposes goes, at 7,100, there's almost a $2,000 difference there. We gotta take shots. So we lean heavy on Amanda and we take some leverage shots for Holly and we keep it moving. All right. And the last fight of the night, the main event, the light heavyweight title fight, you got John Bones Jones coming back to defend his belt against Thiago Santos. Man, this is going to be a great fight, but the thing about this one is Vegas has John Jones as a -654 favorite. So Vegas doesn't think this is very even of a fight. They got Thiago coming in at +460 underdog. He's only 6,600 on DraftKings, and John Jones is 9,600 on DraftKings. I can tell you right now, and like most, slates, and if you didn't listen to if you haven't listened to any of the other pods, usually I'll talk a lot of strategy coming up into those, but I've been kind of getting away from those because we talk a lot of strategy in the first, second pod and that kind of stuff. So now we have more time to just get straight to fights and info and just kind of just keep it more of the breakdown. But this is, as that last fight of the night, the main event, usually we stack it up. That's what we're doing. So, and as far as stacking, I mean, of course, now I'm not giving any cash advice. I'm all GPPs, especially today. Like I said, I have a few tickets. I'm going to chase that money.
But for cash, I think you can definitely stack this one, or you can stack the co-main event, to be completely honest. I think you can probably get away with stacking either one. But for GPPs, when I say stacking, I mean like in every single one of your lineups, or in 80%, 75% of your lineups, if not all. Like, really, it's up to you guys. You make that decision there. But we want to load up on this fight. You want John Jones or Santos in every single one of your lineups. If you are playing 10 lineups, I would say right now, take eight of them. You can put John Jones in four of them. You can put Santos in four of them. Whatever's clever. But make sure you get exposure to that fight one way or another. You can go six Jones, two Santos, how five and three, like however you want to split it up, but we definitely want to have this fight, and we want to have, we have want to have it going one way or another. We never, never, never in GPP want to stack the fight. So we don't want to have both of these guys in the same lineup, even though I promise I've seen crazy shit, man. And like, I've seen a winning lineup before where it's happened, but that's just where literally crazy stuff is happening, and then it's just all luck, and I mean, I've probably seen that once or twice in the years and years that I've been playing this, so it rarely happens. And so that's why, as a guideline, we do have to have some rules, right? And one of the rules is we don't stack fights in tournaments, as far as both of them in the same lineup. But we do want to go ahead and have heavy exposure to the fight in general. We want to target this fight. I'll be heavy on John Jones, of course, but I also like Santos, so I'm gonna have a lot of hedge lineups with him as well. So I think this is a spot we just got to load up on and hope that at the end of the night, you have that lineup basically with one of these guys in it to give you a chance to take all the money home, or at least to take the tournament down. So that's it, guys, for UFC 239. Thanks for giving it a listen. Hopefully you guys go out there and get this money. Again, I do want to apologize about not having Juan on this week, just with the holidays and everything like that. Like, it really just crept up on me. It wasn't Juan. He probably would have still been down, but I told him, let's just reschedule it for next week. So we'll have the Kraken Juan Adams on the pod next week. We'll ask him some questions and get to know him a little bit. And yeah, man, let's get this money. Good luck, everyone. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, go ahead and hit me up. You can send me a message. You can just tweet at me. Whatever's clever. So yeah, let's get this money, guys. Thanks for listening. Peace.